What is up, guys, and welcome to the Meeple Minded Podcast, the podcast where we talk all things tabletop gaming. My name is Jason.
And I'm Jake.
How are you doing this week, James?
Not too bad.
Excellent stuff. We're back again. Two weeks.
We are.
It's going quickly, isn't it?
It is.
Way too quickly. It only feels like last week that we recorded, but there you go. How have you been, James? What have you been up to? Stuff? Things?
Things and stuff and nice. Things.
Nice. Well, what sort of things have you been up to?
Don't ask that question. I have to think of something now.
You got to actually do stuff in your life, James, rather than, you know, trying to make your life sound interesting.
Why, Jason? Why do you have to ask the follow-up question? I just gave the illusion there that I actually possess a social life and you had to ruin it.
I mean, you have somewhat of a social life, let's be honest now. You see me more often than not on most evenings. In fact, not so much now, because now neither of us have got a car.
It makes things a little difficult.
It does, because, you know, effort to walk to your house and... Or, God forbid, get public transport.
I know.
But, yeah. How was the walk over this evening, James?
I didn't walk. I used public transport.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What made you do that? I'm guessing it was the...
The rain.
The rain. Yes. We are back to rain in the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, joyous day. I believe there's another storm coming as well, so what I've been told.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah, yeah. Well, how much of the town is going to be destroyed this time? And when we say destroyed, I kind of feel bad saying it, because I know we have a lot of American listeners who actually know what it's like to have... towns destroyed by weather.
Yeah, no, we tend to get flooding. That's about it.
That's our thing though in the UK now, isn't it? There's a slight bit of rain. Oh well, the half the country is now flooded.
Yep.
Yeah, because it only takes a tiny little bit now. Weirdly.
Yes. Well, that's what happens when you build houses on floodplains because the water's got nowhere to go.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very true. I would have thought that was part of the building planning stages. You know, it's like. We probably shouldn't build here.
I believe, Jason, now, I might be wrong on this. I'm just, like, spitballing here. But I believe the conversation goes something along the lines of, well, we shouldn't build there. It's a floodplain. Here's a blank check. You can build your houses there.
Yeah. Or to put a spanner in that argument, I don't think it's involved in a blank check. What I would say is that land is cheaper than the other land.
Yes.
So we can build there cheaper than we can build here. So I think that's more what it is, James.
Mm-hmm.
But then the poor saps that then go by buying houses there thinking, oh, they will have sorted the drainage and all of that.
Fools.
Yeah. The thing is, it's a very clever strategy because obviously they do sort out the drainage because it's all brand new drainage. The problem is they plumb it into drainage that isn't brand new, has basically collapsed under the ground, and yeah, just floods back out the drains. Onto the roads. Or into the rivers, which then burst their banks and so on and so forth. It's great fun.
Yeah.
Not for the people that live there, obviously. Especially if they've bought the house, because, you know, once it's happened once,
yep,
that house is never going to sell, is it? Let's be honest. But yes. Oh,
well, put it up for sale in the summer when there's no rain. No, this never happens here.
Yeah.
Quick, buy it.
We saw your house on the news the other week. Oh, damn it. But yes, a couple of weeks has gone by. We've had some games that we've managed to play recently, which is good. But before we get to games we've played, James, I have some news.
You have some news?
I have some news from the Camp of Frizz.
The Camp of Frizz.
The Camp of Frizz. I have sold some more games, James.
Have you?
I have. I have sold four.
Four?
I can't tell you which ones they are because I can't remember. But it was about... Doing a bit, I think it was literally the day after we last recorded. Went to a game day, took a few games along to sell. I managed to sell four, and my partner also sold four. So we've managed to clear eight games from this collection, James. Now that's impressive for me.
It is.
That's a big hit. And that the cull is to continue. I'm not stopping. I'm motivated to cut this collection down and actually fit all my games on one shelf unit. Not just, you know, multiple units and piles on the floor, and there's some in my bedroom as well, in my wardrobe on the floor, and maybe some on the hallway as well. It's pretty bad. But I'm not going to have it for much longer. I'm determined I'm going to cut it down. So, James, are you with me on this journey of games disappearing?
Yes.
Do you think I can actually do it? Because you said when I successfully announced I'd sold one game, you said I couldn't continue. Mm.
I didn't say that you couldn't continue. I fully believe you could sell games. The question is, you will replace them faster than you sell them.
I have not as of yet.
As of yet.
As of yet. I have had one Kickstarter delivery turn up. and I also exchanged a game. So technically I got rid of five games, but that was an exchange. I have another game in its place. But as it stands, James, I am net minus seven games, and I'm happy. I'm happy with that. So long may it continue, and let's talk about the games that we played these past couple of weeks, James.
Let's do it.
Do you remember what they were?
We spoke about this about 5 minutes ago. No.
Well, let's start with last night, James. What did we play last night?
We played Planet Unknown.
We did play Planet Unknown. Yes. Excellent. I mean, you remembered one of them at least, which is good. Planet Unknown, James. I can't remember if we've talked about this on here before, but if we have...
We're talking about it again.
What are your thoughts on Planet Unknown, James? Your first or second thoughts?
First or second thoughts. Well, technically it was my second playthrough, so yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I did.
Good, good. Well, see, I know last night we played the more advanced version. Oh. We got special last.
We did. We got the special rules.
We got the special rules, and that to me made it so much better. But I really liked Planet Unknown before, but having those sort of the more asymmetric play of the game really shone to me. And God damn it, I managed to fill the damn planet again. That's every game I've played of Planet Unknown, I've managed to completely fill the planet. And that makes me happy. So, James, you had a bit more of a harder time, though.
I did, because I had the map that was divided into four.
You had, like, the quadrants, didn't you?
Yeah, and you can't place certain things in each quadrant. There's like one type of building you cannot place anywhere in that quadrant. So it's like,
We were quite kind to you though, because
I mean, you weren't intentionally... I mean, I don't know if you could block me out, so to speak. Well, you could in the late game once the board's filling up, but you could only really do that in the last couple of turns.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, obviously, we noted before we even started when we drew the objectives between the players that you had two that you physically couldn't achieve or maximize the achievement, should we say, because I think it was the most amount of something.
It was the most amount of solar panels and the most amount of sieve.
Yeah, around the outside. But
that's two of the quadrants. That's exactly what you can't put in them. So that's a whole quadrant board edge that I can't use.
Yeah, yeah. And because you had both of those objectives, it was like, well, that's half of your map is technically not usable. So we were nice to you.
We
swapped them out. And to my detriment, I'm just going to say this, James. I suffered because of that.
You still won.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I suffered, damn. I didn't win as much as I should have done. No. Do you know what? I'd actually forgotten. I'd forgotten that I won. But, I do well in those games.
Yeah.
You know, the little tile sort of Tetris-y placement. And, the polyomino game. I've always liked them. They're not my favourite type, but I get on well with them. I sort of seem to be able to
it well. I didn't manage to fill my board, but I think I had one three-piece L-shape left, and that's only because you ended the game.
Yes, yeah. And if I hadn't have ended the game...
I would have.
Ant would have, as would you. We were all that close that we would have ended the game in some way, shape, or form. I think I ended it because I didn't actually fill my board at the time. I had to place a different thing, but it was... The area I'd chosen on the Lazy Susan Ant physically couldn't place.
Yes.
So he technically ended the game. But by placing my piece, I got one movement up on the biome.
Yeah.
Or the bio track, which then gave me
a single square.
A single square, which then enabled me to complete my board, which was great. I really do like the game. I don't want to talk about it too much because I know we're going to have to do an episode on that. But yes, James, so Planet Unknown, thumbs up, thumbs down after your sort of first, second play?
I surely can't tell, Jason, as we're going to do an episode on that.
I think you can.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Yeah, we like some spoilers every now and again.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up for me, but you know, you want our in-depth thoughts about it, you know what to do.
Mm.
The future. We played another game last night, James. This was an older game. We managed to play Starship Captains.
We did.
How did you like that?
I enjoyed it. I do like that game.
I do. And I love keep coming back to it. I'm not going to lie. I really do like keep coming back to it. I absolutely sucked in the game last night. I don't know what the hell was going on.
You still
However,
won.
I still... Oh man, I don't know how. I really don't, because I was struggling so bad last night. I was only doing missions that were like 2 and 3 points a piece. I think I clawed it right back at the end though, because I managed to get that one mission, which was I think 7 points, which put me in the lead. But it was close, you know. Looking at the scores here,
yeah, it was a close game.
It was you and Ant both got 33, and I got 36.5. Terrible scores for all of us. However, it was close. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Are you still a fan of Starship Captains?
I am indeed.
Yeah, good. Would you continue to play it?
I would.
Excellent, because it's a game that's staying in my collection.
Shocker.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Do you know how I can tell it's staying in your collection, Jason? You didn't need to tell me that it was staying in your collection.
Still on the shelf.
It's in the shelf, in the prime space.
It is. It's on eyeline.
Yep.
It's on the eyeline, which the question is, we're talking about Age of Comics today, James. Is that going to end up in the eyeline? What do we think? Yeah.
I think yes, because there's a perfectly Age of Comics shaped box gap right
in
that.
You will find out momentarily, James, because we have some other games that we need to talk about. Because we've switched to doing every 2 weeks at the minute, we have managed to go over 2 weeks of games that we played last year.
Yeah.
So we've got to talk about two games that we talked about last year. The first one is Heat, Pedal to the Metal. Can you believe it's been a year since that one?
Really?
It has.
Doesn't feel like it.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. But yeah, I think this one's going to be pretty damn obvious because we've played it a few times since.
Yep.
But your thoughts on Heat Pedal to the Metal a year later?
Still good.
Still good? Still enjoy playing it?
Yes. I'd actually like to play some of the modules that we haven't played yet.
This is the problem. Every time I get to play the game with the different modules, you're never here.
Yep.
Which is kind of annoying, but I will make sure it happens. Looking forward to the expansion that's coming out, James.
Ooh, I've not heard much about it, but I do know there is one coming.
Yes, two new tracks. I believe Japan is one of them, if I remember correctly. And it's called Heavy Rain or Torrential Rain or something like that. Much like we're actually having in the UK at the moment. So we could just go and run around outside and it'd be like playing Heat. But yes, Heat Pedal to the Metal, still a plus. Thumbs up from me.
Thumbs up from me.
Excellent. This would be an interesting one. The other game we played this time last year, James, was Red Rising. Now, do you remember much about Red Rising?
I do remember Red Rising.
Now, I remember a little bit about the episode. I haven't listened to it for a while, but I remember you saying you quite liked Red Rising.
Yeah, it was one of those games where it took me a while to warm to it.
Mm.
But once I'd sort of got it,
yeah,
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, because it's that whole thing of, you know, the drafting of the cards and swapping cards out and then activating the lines that you're putting cards on or something like that. It's been a long time since I played it. But and then at the end of the game, you get the points of what's in your hand, if I remember correctly. So there is something unique about that. Ultimately, it's a card game. Card game, board game, whatever you want to call it. But to me, it's a card game. I can safely say that I actually enjoyed my time playing it.
Yeah, I did.
However,
I don't miss it.
I don't miss it either. I haven't missed not playing it because I haven't played it since. Reasons for not playing it since? I don't own it. That's a biggie. And I only know one person that has, which is Paul. And it's been at most of the game clubs that I've been along to with Paul, but we've never sat down to play it. It's just one of those games that just doesn't seem to get played. I'm not that bothered that I'm not playing it.
It's one of those things where I think now, if I saw it, there'd have to literally be nothing else.
Yeah.
That I was even remotely interested in playing it. It's like, don't get me wrong. Like you said, I enjoyed the time we spent playing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many other things now. It's just sort of like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Because again, I'm kind of not really attracted to the theme of it because I haven't read the books. I'm not interested in the books. The components of it are basically the same as every other Stonemaier game. So yeah, it's a shame. I would play it again. But as you said, I think if there's better options available, I'm going to take those options. But yeah, that's some games we played last year, James. Are you ready to talk about a game that we've been playing a fair bit recently?
I am.
Excellent. Let's do it for the first game highlight of the year. Okie cokie, guys. So we are talking about Age of Comics, The Golden Years today. I am going to start off by reading what it says on the back of the box. Rather than trying to create my own thing, because there is quite a nice little paragraph on the back which I will read. So, Age of Comics, The Golden Years is a worker placement game in which players run a comic book publishing company during the Golden Age of Comics. In each round, the players use their editor meeples to complete various publishing tasks such as hiring a creative team, developing new comic books, or creating rip-offs of those published by competitors, printing and selling them across Manhattan's newsstands and more comic books. As more comic books are published, special actions and rewards are unlocked to power up players' strategies. To become the top comic book publisher and win the game, the players must earn the most victory points at the end of the five rounds by publishing comics and gathering a fan base for them, generating ideas for new comics, improving their printing quality, and earning money. Superheroes, romance, crime, sci-fi, western, or horror, which comic series will you create to become a comic book industry mogul? Age of Comics is for 1-4 players. It has a playtime of between 60 and 110 minutes. It's designed for ages 14 and up. That is a rough idea, or more importantly, that's the exact idea of Age of Comics, The Golden Years. But what comes in the box should you buy the base game of Age of Comics, James?
Okay, Jason, inside the box you will find a board.
Woo!
Always useful for a board game.
It really is. I'm glad they included that.
I know. You say that. We have played games that don't include boards.
Very true. Marvel United. Yeah.
4 player mats, 4 turn order blocks, 20 editor meeples, 12 special action cubes, 4 sales agent tokens, 6 super transport tickets, 6 mastery tokens, 16 hype tokens, a score pad, 24 original comic book cards, 24 rip-off cards.
Yeah!
48 creatives cards, split into 24 writers and 24 artists, 4 overview cards, 24 increased value tokens, 24 mini original and 24 rip-off comic book titles, 30 VP tokens, 60 idea tokens, 6 calendar tiles, 42 sales order tiles, 16 better color tokens, and 72 money tokens.
Excellent stuff. So, there's a fair bit in this box. They've crammed this box full, and considering I've got the collector's edition here, because I backed it on Kickstarter, I've got a few expansion bits in there as well, but obviously we're not going to talk about that today. I might touch a little bit on some of the expansions later, but for the core of this game highlight, James, we'll talk about the base game. So, starting off, let's talk about the theme and the overall appearances of the game. To you, James, what do you think of the theme and how it is presented within this game?
I think it's done that really well, actually. The artwork is superb. Oh, I'm just going to say that off the bat.
Yeah. Are you talking about the comic books themselves?
Yeah.
Because you get like the little tiny little comic book tokens.
Yeah.
And obviously on the cover of this one, we have them all printed on that as well.
Yeah. So they look... Like, they've obviously hired a proper comic book artist,
of course,
style artist to do all the artwork.
When you're talking about comic book art, though, we're not talking about what you would expect to see on comics now.
No,
we're talking vintage-style comic art.
Yeah.
Which is great, because obviously the theme demands that this is the Golden Years.
Yeah, so this is sort of very 1920s, 1930s artwork. Yeah. And the general artwork of the entire game fits that, even like down to the pictures of like the offices, all like they're sitting behind with typewriters instead of computers and all that kind of stuff. I really like that.
Yeah.
Are you going to touch on this?
I will be touching on the rule book momentarily. For me, the themes and the appearances of the game, I'm going to concur everything that you've just said with regards to the artwork used within the game, but I also want to highlight everything else about the game, the boards, the central boards themselves, the tokens and that. I quite like the fact that they all have quite muted colours, and the colour palette involved within the game is quite different. Like the player colours, for example, you've got like a pale yellow, a salmon colour, a sort of teal turquoise colour, and brown. It's not red, blue, green, and all that kind of jazz. And because they've used those muted colours on the board, it makes those comic books that you were talking about just really pop.
Yes.
Because they have used very heavily saturated colours and it just makes it stand out on the board. And I think that was an amazing choice, to be honest. The card stock within the game, obviously you've got the front covers and on like standard card size as well. But then you've got the, I think it's the artist and the writer's cards, which are a bit more basic because they're just plain block colors. But yeah, it really, really works. I love the presentation. I love the map of Manhattan as well. Because again, we all know in that golden age of comics, Manhattan was the center. That was the hub of comics. So I think appearance they've captured so well in this game. And I don't think I can say anything negative about it. Everything is very clear. So yeah, theme and appearances for me, spot on. Quality of the components, James, what do you think about that?
I've got no complaints.
No?
That I've seen from where we've played it.
Excellent. So again, we're talking about, I've got the collector's edition here. However, the base game stuff is what we've been playing with. I didn't pay for any of the extras, like the metal fan token things. I didn't pay for the metal coins or anything like that. So all of it's cardboard stock. Very, very good. As I said, the little mini comics are the highlight for me because they are incredibly well printed. I think quality-wise is fantastic. My game came with a fantastic insert as well. I don't know if that's a retail thing, but it's made by Games Trays. Very, very good. Separates everything in the box nicely. Holds it all down nicely as well. It doesn't fit sleeved cards very well, but it's a minor niggle for that. So yeah, for me, quality of the products is spot on. Moving on to the setup of the game. James, I know you haven't set this game up personally.
Yep.
You have witnessed me doing it a fair few times now.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the setup of this game? Because first of all, let's just cover it. It's a bit of a table hog.
It is a bit of a table
hog. It's quite a big board. But from what you've seen, James, how does the setup work? Is it
an easy one? The setup seems easy once you know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of tokens to put out across the board. And that is where the complications for me come in. Because the Manhattan area that I was talking about, you put lots of different tokens out on that bit. But depending on the player count, you have to take out certain ones. And it's not just a case of take out X amount of tokens. It's find these exact tokens and take them out.
Yeah.
And when you're talking 30 to 40 of them, it's a bit of an achy ball situation. So a bit of a nightmare, but fairly easy to do, as you said, once you know what you're doing. Knowing what you're doing, however, we got there in the end, is somewhat of a challenge because the rule book is absolutely awful.
It's a Kickstarter special.
It's do you know, it's one of the top Kickstarter specials. It is terrible for multiple reasons. First and foremost, I respect them for trying to do what they've done. They've tried to keep the rule book in a comic book style.
Yeah.
The problem with comic book styles is stuff goes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're trying to read rules, that's the last thing you want to do. There's sections in there as well as, like, oh, it's referring to this. This is what you're going to do. Blah, 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 blah. To find out about this rule, go to page 11. I'm currently on page 2. Okay, well, I'll switch to page 11. And it basically repeats everything it's just said with, like, maybe a few extra lines to explain what it means. And then it'll say, now go back to page 2. And there's multiple instances of jump here, jump here, jump here. And I'm like, I just want to read the damn rules so that I know how to play the game or set up the game. It's frustrating, James. It's frustrating. You should be happy you don't have to do this kind of stuff. I did have to. I got to the point where I had to sit down with our resident rules junkie in Kiri, where we got together. We learnt the game together. It took us a while to figure it out. But once we figured it out, it was plain sailing. It's really, really easy. And I think once you understand the complexities of what's happening, it's so easy to teach. You know, this is not a gateway game. I'd even go it's slightly above Gateway Plus, but we're nowhere near that sort of medium weight game. It is still quite light. So yeah, rulebook needs lots of work. I hope by the time this hits retail, they have solved that issue. But again, this could also be a case of this is not a native UK. A native English-speaking country.
Mm.
So it's not been written in English and it's been translated. I'd argue probably not very well. But proofread the rule books. Please, proofread rule books. Could deal with so many issues. James, do you have anything to say about the rule book?
I've not really read the rule book.
You've seen it.
I have seen it, but I've not read it. But I trust you when it comes to rule book things.
That's fair enough. That is fair enough. I'm not going to harp on too much because I actually am trying to stay positive for this game. Rulebook, not good. Needs work. Let's move on. Let's talk about gameplay, James. What do you like about the game?
It's a worker placement game.
I mean, do we need to say more? Do we need to say more? Worker placement's guaranteed to be amazing, right? I'm not going to say we're biased.
Enjoy a worker placement game here at the Meeple Minded.
We do indeed. I mean, one of my favourite games of all time, Dynagenics, also worker placement. So this stands in good stead. It was one of the things that sold me to backing the game in the first place. That, and I couldn't get the Comic Hunters game that I really wanted, which was Brazil exclusive.
Not anymore.
Well, next year. Yeah. But it's now coming out in English language. Fantastic. Looking forward to that. Can't wait to play it. Let's talk about Age of Comics, though. James, what are your pros, other than it's a worker placement game? What do you like?
What do I like? I like how they've kept it very thematic to actually making a comic book.
Yes. So everything you do in this game is built about,
yeah,
you're going to print a comic book. You know, when you think about worker placement games, there's usually lots of different things you can do that don't necessarily correlate to your overall strategy. No, you're going to print a comic book.
Yeah, but you need to hire writers and artists to actually write the story and draw the art.
Yep. Yep.
You need to actually come up with a comic book with the cover.
Yep.
I think is that how they actually describe it So the cover.
It's deemed as the development stage.
Yeah, the development. Yeah. So you have to develop the comic.
Yep.
You need ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Unless you're writing a ripoff.
Yeah. Oh, I think.
But we'll get on to the ripoff.
That is my single favorite mechanic, but we will get to that. You need the ideas token. And then once you have a writer, an artist, a cover, and some ideas, you can go to print.
You can, providing you've got the money to do it. Yes, indeed. Because you can't expect writers and artists to work for free.
You can. That's just unacceptable. What do you mean I have to pay them?
I mean, the better they are, the more expensive they are as well.
Oh, what is this capitalism?
So now that's one of the interesting things about the game, isn't it? You have to have your writers and your artists, because if you ain't got a writer, you ain't got a comic, have you?
Exactly.
I mean, you could just do pictures, I guess, but it doesn't really work. You need to have ideas because it's an original idea. It's an original comic. You need to have that catalyst to get the writers and the artists going. And, you eventually need to buy your front cover or whatever it is, to develop the comic and then print it. There's a few other things you can do on the board, but ultimately they're your core sort of four parts of the board, isn't it? It's like they're the ones you're going to have to do no matter what. I quite like the sort of the other half of the board, if you like.
Yeah.
Where I talked about the Manhattan map, for example. It's not an integral part of the game. However, it really added to my game, because if you go to that section, you can move your sort of your piece around Manhattan, going to all the different newsstands and claiming taking orders for comics.
Yep.
Which you then have to fulfill.
Yep.
And I like the fact that if you don't fulfill them, they're negative points at the end of the game.
Yep.
Because you've taken an order you haven't fulfilled, you've got a bad reputation, it's taken away from your fans. Because that's the currency in the game, isn't it, really? I mean, you've got money.
Yeah.
But the ultimate victory point is, how many fans have you got?
Your fans are your points, so to speak. I also like the fact that as you print comics, you get those little special action cubes.
Yes.
Which you put on, like, you can put one in each section.
Yeah, because it's sort of like, you've got your basic level, haven't you, of worker placement. But then as you print more comics, you get to upgrade certain...
But
action,
like I
said,
but
it becomes very asymmetric when you do that, because it doesn't upgrade it for everyone.
No, it's just for you. And I like the fact that your higher develop and ideas are one section.
Yes.
Printing is another section.
Yep.
And
fulfilling orders and
gaining money.
Yeah, like royalties, I think, is the other one.
Is the third section, and you only get three cubes, and you can only put one in each
section. Exactly.
So you have to, especially the top three.
Yeah, you have to
pick which one you want.
And I think you unlock that after your second comic.
Yes.
When you print your second comic. So at that point, you kind of like, well, still early on in the game, I need to know roughly what my game plan is at that point. So there's some decisions to be made, because we have just talked about all six, and I did say that, only six places for you to place your editor meeples.
Yep.
How did you find that? Because most worker placement games that we've played, James, they've quite an expansive area for you to place your meeples. How did you feel it was having that limited?
I didn't find it was that limiting, really. The only one you're usually fighting over is print, because if you're the first one there, you get to print two comics.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And there's enough space on there for someone to do something twice and then everyone else to do something once.
Yep.
Or, you know, if you're lucky, you could do it three times and that way you're going to block someone out.
Yeah. I mean, blocking someone out only tends to really happen in the last couple of rounds, because on that third upgrade, you unlock another meeple.
Yeah. But there's a lot of decision to be made, though, isn't there? Because like you said, if you print your comic first, you get to print two of them, which otherwise would cost you two meeples to do.
Yep.
However, I might still need ideas and I kind of need to go to the ideas section, but depending on when you go to the ideas section, will depend on how many ideas you can actually gain.
Yeah.
So it's like, I kind of want that because I could do with four ideas, but I also don't want to leave that two times comic open because, you know, little Jimmy over there, who's clearly only going to print one comic, but he's going to do it to block me from doing two.
Yes.
You know, and there's a little bit of thought process there. And I think that's the core of the player interaction in the game, though. I don't find, other than that, that there's much player interaction in the game. What do you think?
There isn't. Like you said, there's only really like blocking people out of certain squares if you're working out what they're doing. And tied into that is stopping someone from doing that times two print.
I mean, I guess you could class player interaction as stealing the sort of dominance of a certain comic type, which is something you can do. If you're the first to print, say, a romance novel, you gain
a mastery token,
that's it. Become the master of that, and you hold on to that until someone overtakes you. You know, doesn't equal you, they have to overtake you and they have to have at least one original.
I suppose there is player interaction on the Manhattan map, whereas if you land on the same space as someone else, you have to pay them.
There is, but it's not, I wouldn't say it hinders anyone.
It doesn't,
because it doesn't block you from stopping there. It's like, I'll just land on top of you and I have to give you a couple of quid.
But it is a form of player interaction.
It is, yeah, it is. So we talked about printing comics, James.
Yes.
Let's talk about what I think is both, or potentially both, of our favourites things here. Because we talked about printing an original, where you have to have two idea tokens.
Yep.
You have to have the front cover.
Yep.
You have to have the writer. You have to have the artist.
Yep.
What do you need to print a rip-off, James?
A writer and an artist.
Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. So they're far easier to do.
Yes.
But they don't garner you as many fans off the bat, because you don't gain a fan from the front cover. You literally only gain the fans of the relevant artist and writer, providing they match the genre. So you can use any writer, any artist of any genre to print a comic, but you would only gain fans equal to its value if it's the correct color. So, a sci-fi is green. If I'm making a sci-fi comic, can I play a green artist and a green writer? I'm going to gain maximum fans.
Yep.
But I could do a grey writer and a blue artist to do my rip-off. I'm not going to gain any fans from it. But is that a major problem, though?
No, because there are ways to boost it up once it's out.
Yeah.
And they are very useful for filling up that board quickly to get those upgrade tokens. I actually find one of the reasons I like it, though, is its self-balancing mechanic.
Yeah.
You can't rip off something that hasn't been made yet.
Exactly. And it can only be ripped off once. By a player.
Yep. So once that particular comic has been ripped off,
it's done.
No one else can do it.
You can't do it. Yeah, that's right. So in the base game, there's six genres of comic, which we've talked about. There's the superhero, the sci-fi, the romance, the zombie, I think there's a western, and gang warfare or violence, whatever you want.
Crime.
There are expansions which add the war module in it, which I will cover a little bit later, because it adds a fair bit to the game. but for the base thing, you've only got six types. Now, in the games we've played, James, do you think that only having six types of comic, which, let's be honest, is realistic, there's only really six types, but do you think that there's a bit of player interaction with that? Because if you've got too many people going for one type of comic, for example,
yep,
you're fighting over the writers, you're fighting over the artists.
Yep.
Is there player interaction with that?
There can be. There is also, because you don't have to have a full... You get maximum benefit for having the matching colours.
Mm.
But you might decide to take a hit. I would say that's where there is actually a good deal of player interaction in the hiring of the writers and the artists, because I can look at you and go, oh, I think you're lining up for a crime.
Yeah.
And there's only one grey there. Now, I'm trying to make a sci-fi, and I've already got a green in my hand.
Yeah.
So I could take that grey away from you and force you to blind draw.
You could, yeah. Yeah. And I think there's another thing here to mention, actually, when you're saying, oh, I think you might be lining up for that.
Yeah.
With the base game, if you're not sleeving your cards,
yeah,
it's actually quite easy to try and guess what someone's going for, because the backs of the front
covers
actually have a backing saying what type of comic it is.
Yeah.
So if it's a sci-fi comic, the back of it is green and blue for superheroes and stuff like that. So you are actually giving away your potential plan, or are you?
Yeah. Well, you don't know which
I could be.
Yeah.
You know, I could actually be gearing up for a grey, but I just happen to have a sci-fi in my hand. You know, I actually quite like that idea of it as well, because I'm going down the deceptive track.
Yep.
You know, maybe I'm just waiting for you to print your grey comic, James, so that I can then immediately rip it off and print it in better ink, you know, which is always good.
Yes. I have ripped off your comic, but I have made it higher quality.
Yes. You printed your comic with a third-rate artist and writer. I've come along with my top-of-the-line writer and artist who had no inspiration whatsoever and ripped off your comic and made it better. Ace win. And then end up with more fans. I think the game we played the other day, wasn't it? The very last comic I printed was like a rip-off comic that I'd hyped to high heaven.
Yes.
And got like 20 fans in one go. Because that's one of the upgrades, James. And this is what we were talking about earlier, the ability to upgrade an action. I really like that. And that, to me, is the most unique thing I've seen about this game as a worker placement. You know, so your base level is always going to be the same. But once you've updated it or upgraded it and unlocked that extra thing, is like, well, I do the base action, then I get to do this as well. And that one has some really unique stuff in it, because we talked about hype. So rather than printing a comic, once I've developed it, is like I just put it down by the side of me and I start adding hype tokens to it, which is two fans a time. You've got the other one, which allows you to spend your tokens from your pool to put them on your already printed comics to add fans to them. You've got the better ink one, which is the only one that comes in the center, which then gives you two victory points for every comic that you print, fake or real. You know, the bottom ones is where you can unlock another meeple.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. I think everyone goes for that one, though, because the other one I find is a bit meh until the end of the game.
Yeah, but like I said, you get three upgrade cubes, so that's four comics in, because the first comic you print doesn't give you anything.
Yep. Yep.
The second one gives you a cube, the third one gives you a cube, the fourth one gives you a cube.
Yep.
The fifth one allows you to move
a cube.
One cube.
To another upgrade.
Yep.
If you wish, yeah.
If you want to. So what usually happens in the last round of the game is that everyone prints that comic.
Yep.
Gives the meeple back because it's the end of the game, and immediately puts it on the other one, which is spend money, which is next to worthless at the end of the game.
Yep.
For fans.
Yeah, you buy fans, basically, don't you? Yeah. So that's, again, I find that, do you know what? I'm actually going to go out and say, James, I think that is my favorite mechanic in the game, the upgradability of a worker placement action.
Yep.
So what makes you like the rip-off side of things the best?
I just like the idea of, oh, you've made that comic, I've made it better.
Yeah, so you just like the douchebaggery.
I just like the idea that you've spent all that time developing that comic, Jason, and I've just come along and gone, oh, that's a nice comic you've got there. It'd be a shame if someone stole it.
That's very true. It is fun to do it.
It is. But like I said, it's a very self-balancing mechanic. And while it's possible to do a whole game ripping off comics,
mm-hmm.
it's quite a difficult strategy.
It is, because because you're not gaining the base fans for it. And ultimately, the end of the game, it's about fans. You need fans.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get you your core points at the end.
To me, I was thinking about this on the walk over, or on the ride over here. It's also, if the other player... One, I don't think it really works unless you're playing a full player count. Because you need the other players to be generating originals for you to rip off.
Yeah.
And if they twig what you're doing early, mm-hmm. they can seriously hamper you up by ripping the comics off first.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not hard to do, because like I said, all you've got to do is have a writer and an artist. Doesn't have to match. I mean, you're going to sacrifice yourself some fans to start with, but there are things in the game that allow you to swap artists out on pre-made comics.
It also, 99% of the time, means you have to go the first round of the game without printing anything.
Yes.
Because it is very rare for someone to, if they're going to print in the first round, it will be right at the end of the round.
Because they will have had to have done all of the other actions to get their ideas, to get their front covers.
Yeah.
Because at the start of the game, you do get the choice of what front cover you have.
Yeah.
And you will be dealt to a writer and an artist, but it's in the rules that if they match, you have to replace one of them.
Yep.
So you can't basically go, I've got two blues, I'm going to claim a blue front cover because I'm getting maximum straight away.
Yeah.
You know, you physically can't do it. So I quite like that.
Yeah. Stop someone running away with it straight off the bat.
Exactly.
Or stops all of you basically gaming the first turn.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there's some good balancing, I think, has gone into this game.
Mm.
So do you have any negatives about the game, James?
I don't know if it's so much a negative.
Okay.
I very rarely use the Manhattan board.
Okay, yeah, yeah. See, I do use the Manhattan board, and I think it's interesting because, as I said earlier, it doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, and I think...
But I think if it wasn't there, the game would be far too limiting because you would be doing cut and paste every turn.
Yeah.
It was like, claim artists, claim a comic book cover, claim the idea tokens, print.
Yeah.
Whereas I could, quite often I will sacrifice printing for a turn to go to Manhattan to claim maybe two or three orders so that when I do print my comic, I've maximized my fans on that comic.
Yeah, I think to me, considering how much effort they've put into making this thematic and the theme on the whole being quite good, it's almost immersion breaking that isn't required.
Mm.
Because I've gone through all the effort to print a comic book, but I don't have to actually contract a newsstand to sell it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because it's meant to, like, I guess it's meant to say, oh yeah, this is a specific order that you've had rather than a generic order. You've printed it and it goes out to everyone.
So, yeah.
Ones have placed an order for X amount more.
I just think it would have added an extra layer to the game if you had to have a contract with a newsstand.
The question is, if they did that, do you think that would be too much to do, being the fact that the game is only five turns long mm-hmm. and that you only get, was it four meeples to start?
No, I think, I think you could have basically just, because for a worker placement game, that's, I was trying to think about this the other day, is that a small amount of meeples? Four?
I think, some worker placements, all right, we'll talk about Dynagenics. It's about the same as Dynagenics.
Yeah.
However, you have to, like, if I think about this game, in order to print comics, you have to do four actions.
Yeah.
Just to print the damn comic. So, arguably, I'd say that is actually quite limiting if you're then going to say, oh yeah, you've also now got to go and take some orders.
Yeah.
Well, especially as movement around the city is also limited to one space, or it costs you money.
Yeah. Well, if you were going to make it mandatory, I would say that you fiddle around with the mechanics a little bit and possibly add an extra meeple.
Yeah, an extra meeple would probably work a bit better, wouldn't it? But yeah, other than that, I mean, I wouldn't say that was a negative. It's just not something that plays to your playstyle in this game.
Yeah, it's not required, so I very rarely do it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Again, it actually plays to my playstyle quite well, which I will say is not a guaranteed win, because my record on this one, I think, is about 40-something percent that I win. So this is actually quite a good game because it tests my mind as well. So, yeah, a few negatives for me, for example, and I don't think they're really negatives, much the same as you said. Like I said, it is a bit of a table hog, so small table households, it's not going to work. There is minimal player interaction in my mind. I think that maybe a little bit more limiting on the amount of spaces for each action would be kind of cool to just add that pressure to it. I feel that maybe one or two extra action spaces might have been better, because, like I said, you know, six things.
Yeah.
Four of which you kind of need to do every turn. You know, I never use the royalties one unless I absolutely have to, because it's literally gain some money.
Mm.
I use that when I didn't print a comic in the last turn. That's literally the only time I use it.
Yeah.
I think the only time
I've ever used the royalty space is in the first turn, if I've had a really bad first turn and can't produce a comic book.
Yeah, and you're hoping to just immediately print it in the next turn. Yeah. And I think the final one I will say, and I don't know how you feel about this, I think this game suffers at that lower player count.
Yes.
I don't think this game works particularly well at two. I really enjoy it at four, which is the maximum. And it's not bad at three. Three is probably the nice sort of medium ground. But for me, I like that four player count. And if things work out nicely with very minimal player interaction, it sort of naturally leans itself to go, we specialize in two types of comic.
Mm.
Until you get someone like me who just chucks a spanner in the works and starts ripping off everyone else and claiming all of the, you know, the decent stuff. So, yeah, that would be my sort of, and I'm just going to hold my hands up and say, not negative, just a few concerns for me personally. I think the game plays better at the higher player counts, and I'd like to have seen just a little bit more for my workers to do rather than making me feel like I was copy and pasting something every turn. Copy and pasting a comic book, James. Have you ever seen it?
I know.
In a ripoff. have I got any extra things I want to say that I like about the game? Okay, I just want to talk very quickly about some expansions, James. I know you haven't played many of them.
Yep.
I know you've played some of them. So
unaware, because you never actually told us what was the expansion content.
Okay, so the ones that you have played, is there's been some special guest comic books that are in there, which give you different bonuses on them. And the special guest ones, for example, the bonus to them is you can use an artist and writer team that you've already printed a comic book with.
Yep.
So rather than having to hire a new writer and new artist, you just get the front cover, you have your ideas, you pay your money for to use your, air quotes, in-house team. So that's kind of cool. I like that one. There's also a mini expansion in there which includes writers and artists of split abilities. So they specialize in, say, sci-fi and romance. So they can be used on either. I also like their balance issue on that, because they're always level one. So you can't get a really powerful one that is specializing in two things. So that's their balancing side, that they are always level one. Now, the one that you haven't played, James, is, of course, the war module for this game. And this is the one that I think we will add in for the next time, because I think this one adds in an extra layer to the game, but also I think it's really good and thematic, because of course the golden age of comics was around the time of the war, so the comic industry really suffered during the war, because a lot of the artists and the writers had to bugger off to fight in a war. So how does it work in the game? So first and foremost, the war comics, the war expansion adds in war comics. So there's another type of comic that you can have in the game, and they always come out on the third turn. Now, what also happens during the third turn is when the war is declared.
Mm-hmm.
So during that turn, there is less writers and less artists available in the section for you to hire on, creating even more intense actions of, I kind of need to hire now because there's only like two on the board, to replicate the fact that they just weren't any around at that time. You also can't rip off a war comic, because that would be heresy, James.
That would be unpatriotic. It would be unpatriotic.
Very unpatriotic. So that they're the core things that happen during the war expansion. There are some other little bits, but they're the ones I think that make a massive difference, because it does give you another thing to specialize in. The rewards for the war comic are generally better, and you can use any writer and artist team, because there are none that specialize in that. So it wouldn't matter. You could get a sci-fi and a zombie one working together to create a war comic, because everyone is patriotic in America, James, and war comics were special. So we need to get you to play that. I found it really, really fun. I think, providing you kind of enjoy it, I think that might stay in the game to be used every time, because I liked that extra challenge that it brought. So that one was pretty good. Like I said, there are some upgrades that you can get for the collector's edition, metal coins and all that kind of jazz. It's not necessary. I didn't need it. Although the completionist inside of me is going absolutely mental and, yeah, accusing me of all sorts of things, but it all boils down that I didn't, you know, back it fully. But there you go. What can I say? So let's start finishing up here, James. Question for you. Did the game and its theme, did the game, its mechanics, its appearance, did it capture the theme for you personally?
I think on the whole it did.
Yeah? Okay. Was there anything that sort of really stood out to you personally that sort of went, yeah, I am definitely a publisher in the golden age because of this?
I think it's when you put the cards down on your player board and you get to put your little comic book cover on the track. It's like, yeah, I printed a comic. I made that.
Do you know what?
I didn't make that. You know, Steve and Bob did, but I own the publishing company.
I paid for it. Yeah. I paid for the services, therefore it's mine. I mean, that's something we didn't touch on, James. I'm going to touch on it very quickly. I also love the fact that your comics devalue in fans over time, replicating the fact that once a comic's out, it's popular, but then everyone's got it, you know, and it just slowly fades into the, you know, into the background until, of course, a popular character, you find out it's an original printing of that character, and then it becomes millions of pounds. But that doesn't happen in the game. I think for me, I think it's a resounding yes that it caught the theme. And I think I sort of played this game now and I'm like, do you know what? I don't think I could re-theme this game. It just works perfectly with the mechanics, with the artistry and stuff like that. So yes, for me, it definitely captures the theme. Overall, James, was it an enjoyable experience for you?
It was indeed.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Is it a game that you think you're going to want to play a fair bit going forward?
Like you said, I'm interested to give the War expansion a go.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely look forward to playing it again in the future.
Excellent stuff. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious from me that, yes, I definitely found this very enjoyable. And more importantly, as a personal thing for me, my partner really enjoys this game. I have explicitly been told, don't you dare sell this game. Luckily enough, I also agree with that verdict.
Really? I got the impression that you didn't like it, Jason.
Oh, see, this is the thing. You just don't know how to read me, James. Don't know how to read me. But I guess the final thing to ask you, James, is what are your final thoughts for the game and who do you personally recommend this game for?
The final thoughts on this game is a very good worker placement game. I would say it's a little bit deceptive from when you first look at it. It's a bit more thinky.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I thought when I saw this game was being a worker placement game was, there's not actually a lot of places to put your workers.
Yeah.
But it is a lot more thinky than it looks.
Yeah. I think your timing of your decisions is vital in this game, 100%. But yeah, do you think this is a game that anyone could play, or do you think that there is limitations to the player base?
No, I don't think, as long as it's being taught by someone who knows how it already works. As we've already mentioned, the rule book is a little bit of a cluster.
Yep.
Then it is very easy to pick this game up, I think.
Yeah.
It's not complicated once you understand how it works.
Yeah. Complexity rating for you, if you had to pick one between 1 and 5? Or 0 and 5?
2.5 to 3, I would say.
Just under midweight.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. So who do I recommend it for? Well, if you like comic books, Yes. If you like worker placement games, yes. If you want something that's just a little bit more meaty than your average gateway game, yes, I would probably say that with I guess, restrictions. If you're going to suffer from analysis paralysis, maybe this isn't a great game because there is a timing issue to it. If you like heavier games, heavy, meaty Euro-type games, I'd actively say give it a go, but don't be looking for those really hardcore decisions that, you know, are massively game-changing, because I don't think they really exist. So maybe not for those type of people. As I said, my partner absolutely loves this game, which I'm really happy about, so I can definitely see me playing this a fair bit. If you only ever really play games two-player, maybe not. I think there's a bit much for a two-player. James, the game says between 60 and 110 minutes. Would you agree with that time scale?
Yeah, with like your first time round, you definitely, I would actually say, probably leaning to the 110, possibly 120 minutes, 2 hours. Once you've had a couple of run-throughs, yeah, I'd say you could do it. I think an hour might be a little bit optimistic.
Yeah, I definitely, especially at a four-player count.
Yeah, I would lean more towards 90 minutes if I'm on an hour and a half.
Okay. So a couple of bits of information for you, James, and I want to see what you think about this. First off, the company that makes this game, apologies if we butcher this up, but Liridius Games or Lurus Games, I think we talked about. This is actually their very first game.
Ooh.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think you've got a hit there.
Yeah.
You know.
Can't talk about coming out swinging. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to what they come up with in the future, if this was their first one. But another thing for you, James, I bought this game, or I backed it on Kickstarter, for about £55. £55, £60. Do you think there's value in this, considering this is the collector's edition? I believe the retail version is due to be about 40 to 50.
I mean, I would say that's a little on the pricey side.
Okay.
Where,
I mean, there's a fair bit in that box.
There is a fair bit in it, but it's a lot of card.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the average price of games is going up as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd actively say, do you know what? I think that's a pretty reasonable price personally.
I wouldn't, I'm not saying it's verging into unreasonable. It's what I would say is my top end of it's on the limit, considering that the bulk of this is card.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I don't know how much they would have had to have paid, because obviously the artistry in this is crazy.
That's a fair comment.
But yeah, for me, I'm going to say I think that's a fair price. No doubt when it is released at retail, you're going to be able to get it cheaper at some third party retailers. But I'm looking forward to seeing how this does on the retail scene. But I would definitely recommend it for anyone to give it a go. So that is Age of Comics, The Golden Years. I don't know why every game seems to have a subline now, but there you go. Age of Comics, The Golden Years. We play the collector's edition, but we've been talking about the retail edition here. James, have you had a good time talking about this game?
I have indeed.
Excellent stuff. How does it feel to have done our first game highlight of the year?
Oh, I can't believe that's the first one.
I know. Considering it's February already, how bad's that?
I know.
This whole two-week thing is throwing everything out of proportions. But, James, we did actually have a discussion recently, and we might have some news to break on this here show in the coming weeks.
Indeed.
Are you excited about breaking that?
I am. Yeah. All good things, people. All good things.
Yeah. We're quitting.
Throw in the towel.
We're not. I'm just covering it now. We're not giving up. But there is some exciting things to happen. We've been talking about it for a fair while, but the news wasn't quite ready for the first episode of the year, was it?
No.
We're now almost ready to reveal that, hopefully within the next few weeks, and hopefully it'll be something that everyone is looking forward to. But yes, that's it for today. Age of Comics, The Golden Years. Let us know your experiences of playing the game, if you have indeed played it. Is it a game that sounds good to you? Do you want to play it? Let us know on our social media. Facebook, Instagram, we're not on Twitter anymore, but our Discord server is in the podcast description. But until next week, James, should we go and play some games?
Let's do it.
Let us do it. Till next week, I have been Jason.
And I've been James.
And I just said it again, didn't I? I said next week. I still can't get used to it.
In 2 weeks' time.
See you in 2 weeks' time. Ta-ta and goodbye.